Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 11, verse 45. And we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to study your word again. We are always delighted, our heart is always delighted that we can come to you with the boldness and the confidence in our heart, because the door is opened by the Jesus Christ to the throne of grace. Not because we are worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. And he is the one who opened the door for us. Father, we pray for the woman's retreat that's happening in La Paloma. We're asking you the Holy Spirit be upon everyone, especially the one who speaks Barbara Sutton. You give anointing and everyone to understand your ways, the wisdom in God. Father, we also pray for President Obama, for his salvation, that he may come to know Jesus, and the leaders in the all the members in the Congress and the judicial system. We also pray for our troops, especially lifting up the soldiers, 31 soldiers who got killed over the weekend, their families, Father, and their friends. What a great loss. Comfort them, Father. We also pray for the firefighters and the law enforcement personnel, especially the ones who attend our churches. We're asking for your protection upon them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pretend, okay? Do we understand? It's a pretend. Let's say we are all of us are at the next door, Green Valley Mortuary Chapel. It's a Saturday morning because one of our brothers, Charlie, has had a massive heart attack on Tuesday. And he went to be home with the Lord. And some of you are wondering, who is Charlie? Who died? It's a pretending, okay? It's not real. I repeat, it's not real. It's just an opening illustration. Nobody died in our congregation yet. It was an open casket service. So we have his open casket, and you can see the Charlie. A proportion is revealed. And while everyone is in the chapel or is in prayer that is led by me, without pre-knowledge, I said, we miss our brother Charlie very much. We wish that we have him back. Not very long after that, we saw him stretching his arms over his head as if he's been waking up from the long sleep, and he's yawning a lot. By then, nobody's praying. Everybody's watching him, and he kind of pulled himself out of a casket halfway up, and he looked around and said, what's up? Okay, now we have a problem. Probably I have to do a few more funerals by then because other people's having a massive heart attacks. And several people, actually many people, pulling out their phone camera and videotaping and uploading to the, you know, YouTube. That evening, just about every TV station across the country is airing that video, you know how that goes, over and over and over and nonstop. Everybody's talking about it, and they have a medical doctors on the interview and all these things. And of course, some of you guys get to have an interview with the hundreds of TV reporters and the newspaper reporters, especially our elder Jerry Hamby, because he's a nice guy, he's a pushover, he likes to be on camera. He's a photogenic, too. Anyway, he get to do the interview, and then, of course, Charlie himself and his wife, and of course, then, you know, don't forget the funeral director who did the embalming process, and the reporters ask him, are you sure you drain his blood and put this embalming liquid? Are you sure he's dead? And of course, they even asked the doctors, are you sure that you certified him that he was dead? Okay, nobody can deny the miracle happened here, what happened here. But that miracle would divide in four different group of people. Number one, some unbelievers who will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. If you, this is the first time in the sermon outline note, you will see the, some blank area and there is a word that you can fill in. Second group would be the group of people who hate Jesus Christ and will concoct something to protect their interest at all cost. Third group is the vast majority of people who will just watch as if it is some sort of circus. Fourth group is the born-again believers who will have more faith in Jesus Christ than ever before. So I'm asking you, which one of you out of these four groups do you belong to? Which one? I hope you would be the first one or the last one. Let's go back to my story. Following Monday morning, the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder issued a direct order to FBI to arrest me because, in his legal opinion, I practiced medical practice without proper license since I'm the one who prayed in the middle of my praying the guy was resuscitated. All right, that's the end of my fancy story. How would that go with the, what happened truly? True event 2,000 years ago. Let's take a look at it. Verse 45, please. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. Note that word, believed in him. Now the resuscitation of Lazarus was the seventh and the final miracle recorded in the book of John. It's the final miracle that happened Jesus performed in the presence of people. This miracle was what I call the miracle of reprimand because it was done specially in the face of rejection of Israel with the purpose of the causing them to see that even if they reject Jesus, he was still who he claimed to be and still able to display this kind of power. Power over death. As I mentioned before in my opening illustration, God's miracle often divides people according to their deepest mindset. In other words, their true heart toward God surfaced to the top. Don't you agree on that? I believe that these people had a genuine, the people who come to know Jesus Christ at that time, and they had a genuine salvation with the belief in Jesus Christ. So what is the belief in Jesus Christ? I define it this way. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is God in human flesh. He came to the world and died on the cross as atoning sacrifice for our sins. And he rose again on the third day. And he ascended to the Father. He can come into your life and forgive your sins and cleanse your life. That is believing in Jesus Christ. Nothing short of that. Any other way, you're making your own Jesus. Like a Mormons did, like a Jehovah's Witness did. And not like a New Age idea of Jesus. The second group is Jesus haters. These people just hate Jesus no matter what. Verse 46, please. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do?" That's what the committee does when they don't know what to do. They look at each other. What do we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. The Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you. consider that is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Now, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day, they plotted to put him to death. And some of you may wonder, other Pharisees tried to kill him before. What about that idea? Well, they were the kinds of small minor league Pharisees, not the chief council, not the chief priest. Nobody ever denied the miracle of Lazarus' resuscitation. If you notice, I do not use the word Lazarus' resurrection because he was not resurrected. He was resuscitated. You need to make a very clear distinction. Not even the ones who were haters of Jesus Christ. In spite of the fact and truth, they pretty much insisted, don't confuse us with the fact and truth. We want to believe what we want to believe. We don't care if he raised the dead. You are confusing us, our unbelief, with the fact. That's the thing. Do you think that is what I just said is far-fetched? Go to universities. Go to colleges. The professors, DNA professors, will tell you all these things, but they really down to everything in science. But when it comes to the evolution, they will stick with the evolution theory instead of creation fact. Even though there's no possibility of the evolution theory would make it into any fact, but they were willing to go extensive to believe the evolution theory. Why? Because number one, if they take the creation fact, they will be ousted from their little society, and they're going to blend and brand it as unscientific. In my opinion, and I believe that what I said is true, evolution is anything but scientific. Bible teaches us that anyone who wants to know the will of God, God would reveal his truth to those who are open to him. Remember Isaiah 55, seek me, I'll be found by you. But if your mind is closed, you are refusing any chance to know the truth. In the same way as you said, I hate God, it is the same way that you say, I hate God, I hate Jesus, I hate him all the more than ever before. You may say, well, I don't hate God, I just don't believe what he says. It's the same thing. I'm going to explain more about that. As you all know, after each service, I shake hands with you guys, just about every one of you, as you leave the door. And so I see some of the people's faces, especially the new visitors. You guys been around, I know your face, so I don't even concerned about that. You don't like it, that's tough, and that's my idea. But the new visitors, as they leave, they cannot get out of the door fast enough because they did not like what they just heard. They don't want to hear the truth because their mind is made up. Let me say this. They come here not to hear the truth. They want somebody to pat their back, to encourage them to continue in their sin. I met with one gentleman. He said, I've been living with my girlfriend. Well, actually, he's not my girlfriend. She's not my girlfriend. She was my wife. I divorced her, and she divorced him, and actually she was still married to another guy. She was checking up with this original husband. I thought, are you living in soap opera or something? Anyway, now she ditched him again to go for somebody else. And his heart was all crushed. It's like, it's a good time for you to get in shape with God. Some people don't want to hear the truth. they come here, come to church, not to hear the truth, but somehow they're thinking that God will say, oh, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Not. It is necessary for the Jewish council that it was known as Sanhedrin to meet and discuss what to do with Jesus at this point. Because Sanhedrin's position is that they are the one who is deciding what is right and wrong in the land of Israel. However, they were not seeking after the truth. Rather, they were seeking the reason to murder Jesus to protect their own selfish interests. We just read this. Because the Romans would take their position away from them. The way they calculated is, If Jesus had enough followers, Rome would consider it as insurrection. That means they will uproot everybody from the land of Israel, scatter abroad all over the Roman Empire. What does it mean? Do you think that the Roman authority would treat the Sanhedrin members special? No, they would be another refugee. Just like anybody else, they no longer can hold their position as a social elite, and they're no longer in power. They would be treated just like any Joe Goldberg, in this case, I guess, Jewish people. They don't like that idea. They're losing their power and their interest, their benefit. So they had to protect their benefit, their interest. They would do anything, including killing Jesus Christ. High priest Caiaphas is a Sadducee, not Pharisee. The Pharisee who was super duper fundamentalist hated the Sadducees who were political liberals with a passion. Vice versa. They didn't get along. It's like a Democrat and liberals. Democrat and liberals would get along. Democrat and Republicans, or the Democrat and Tea Party. Yeah. They are on each other's throat. But these two arch enemies could always work together against one common enemy, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus had been the thorn in their eyes for the last almost 3 years. He called them what they were, whitewashed tomb. Painted white and looks nice outside of the tomb, but inside they're filled with the stench of the dead man's bone. And he constantly irritated them almost 3 years, as I mentioned. Not only that, he threw their merchant out of the temple not only once, twice. That through the temple, they were making a very healthy profit over this poor Jewish pilgrim. In their mind, Jesus gotta go at all cost. It is the same way today, folks. If you pray in public, if you're using name of God, they will wink at you, even liberals, as long as you don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. Once you mention the name of Jesus Christ, guess what? That is the battle cry. You just drew the line, and you passed that. No matter what kinds of excuse they use, the world is against Jesus Christ, especially right here in America, where most of our forefathers were devout Christians, and this country had been founded in a Christian core value. By the way, in case you have not noticed, you have not heard, chaplain of the Navy, U.S. Navy, are not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. I had another chaplain where I volunteered in the Pima County Sheriff's Department. He is from United Methodist Church, and he and I were having a coffee after our meeting with some of the commanders at the sheriff department. And he said, I don't finish praying with the name of Jesus because I don't want to offend anybody. So I looked at him. I finish with prayer my prayer in the name of Jesus. If they don't like me doing that, they don't have to keep me as a chaplain. I'm a Christian. I will finish my prayer with the name of Jesus because he said in the Bible. Guess who got fired? I'm still there. Caiaphas was a really crummiest kind of person you would meet. He's an egotistical, sly, rude, opportunist, and manipulator, godless, phony priest who were getting what he wanted by hook or by crook. Annas, who was a previous high priest, was a father-in-law of Caiaphas. He was the regular Jewish mafia, and keeping their family business going and flourishing. This phony priest, Caiaphas, declared that Jesus had to die for the nation as if he was some sort of the patriot. He pretty much said, we are in crisis. We must take care of this. Otherwise, the whole nation will go down the drain. Have you heard that rhetoric? We've been hearing this thing very often lately. They said, politicians, I'm not talking about Democrats, particularly Republicans as well. They are holding the nation economy as hostage, and they are pushing for their power. They said, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we're going to go down, our economy will go down the drain. They did. They passed the law. The next day, if you notice, the stock market went long nosedive. Now it's about 1,000 points below. What happened? Our country's problem is not just here. It goes way back, about 50, 60 years. When we deserted God, that's the problem started. Just like when Israel deserted God, started worshiping something else, our country started worshiping money, worshiping people other than one true God. That happened. I've learned that one valuable lesson. When somebody come to me, insisted I must say yes to the whatever he is requesting without a chance for me to pray and hear from the Lord, I tell them, no, I don't want to do it unless I hear from God. The answer is no. And he said, you're going to miss out the golden opportunity. I say, so be it. So be it. Because if I'm supposed to have that, and I was waiting upon God's answer, God will bring another opportunity, or there is a good reason why I should miss that opportunity. So you put that principle to your situation. If somebody is pushing you to do something right away, you don't have a time to pray to God and requesting God to give you an answer, and they said, no, you got to do it now, or otherwise, you're not going to have it. Say bye. Bye. You got to wait upon the Lord. Out of vile, degenerate mouth of Caiaphas came the truth of God in 50 and 52, verse 50 through 52. How could Caiaphas actually speak the truth of God while his brain could not even comprehend this? Keep your finger there, Psalm chapter 2, right after Job. In the Old Testament, Psalm before Proverbs. Psalm chapter 2. Why do nations rage? The people plot vain things. The kings of earth set themselves, and rulers take a counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits on the heaven, what does he do? Shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and he shall speak to them in his wrath. distress them in his deep displeasure. Do you think our country is in distress? Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. You know, in ironic fact, they killed Jesus and they thought everything will go well. But they end up in the political ruin and the ultimate destruction of Israel in AD 70. Rome came in and wiped out the whole country by killing the hundreds of thousands of people, actually a million. So take courage, my brothers and sisters. No matter what kinds of horrible and ungodly situation this country is heading to, God is still in firm control. Right? He never lost it, nor will he ever. No matter how much Islamic terrorists killing our Christian missionaries and Christian brothers and sisters in third country, as a matter of fact, all over the world, God is still in control. And no matter how raunchy and the media and the entertainment industry is becoming to, and no matter how low the decency of America has become, our God is still in control. Does it mean that we do nothing and let God handle everything? Yes and no. Yes, we rely on God for everything. But we must do our part faithfully as He tells us, as He leads us, from praying for one another and supporting one another and loving one another instead of trying to bite each other's head off. Third group we find is in the multitude. Verse 54, please. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness, to the city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And Passover, the Jews, was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus, spoke among themselves as they stood in the middle. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Jesus withdrew himself and the disciples to Ephraim, which is located about 15 miles north of Jerusalem. Why? Was he afraid of the Jewish rulers? No, not because of them. It was not time yet. He remained there until the time was right. Multitude was gathering in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they were wondering if Jesus would ever attend, even though he had become a top of the Israel's most wanted by Sanhedrin. As I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching, the vast majority of the world population will just watch Jesus and Christianity as if some sort of circus. This multitude today, in the seeker-sensitive churches around the world, they just watch Jesus with no commitment. With no commitment to follow and no genuine faith to exercise, no salvation to hold on to, and no deep love for God, no desire to serve, just watch. They would not do anything. They have the flavor of religion in their own style, but not personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know what Jesus said about them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, our memory verse this week. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me against me, and he who does not gather with me scatter abroad. You may say, well, I'm not against God. I'm just outside of your so-called Christianity. Let me say this clearly to you. If you are outside, if you are not in, guess where you are? You are outside. That means you are not with Jesus Christ. There is no such a thing as riding on the fence. Do you understand me? Either you are in, you are out. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. No wonder why some of the guys don't like my teaching. As we will learn, the multitude in Jerusalem cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they said, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," when he was entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And a few days later, "Crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood is upon our head. Crucify him." They were yelling at the top of their lungs. How did that happen? Going from Hosanna to crucify him. From king to killer. Kill him. No wonder why God didn't trust him. Don't think that we would be different. If we were at that time in Jerusalem, we would do exactly the same thing. So let me ask you this. Are you one of these people? Which one, which group are you? Are you the one who come to know Jesus Christ from unbelief to belief? Are you the Jesus haters? I hope not. Or are you the multitude watching Jesus from the outside, thinking that I'm okay because I have a flavor of religion in my own way? Bless you. Or are you going to be the one who's going to be blessed by the miracle of Jesus Christ and your faith increased? All right, the last group, believers. There's no mention of Mary and Martha and his disciple in this portion of Scripture, if you noticed. I'm sure their faith must increase multiple times with the exception of Judas. By then, he already made up his mind. By then, he already concocted the plot to kill Jesus, hand Jesus over to the Pharisees. Listen, please. John chapter 11 reveals a stark contrast between the deity of Jesus Christ and utter depravity of human, like no other chapter in the Bible. The rich man in the Hades cried out to the father Abraham, "Send somebody from this Hades to my brothers, to my father. They will change their mind." In Luke chapter 16. So go there, please. Luke chapter 16. Verse 30. He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they shall," what? "Repent." Really, would they? Lazarus, if you notice, Lazarus came back from the dead. Did the Pharisee repent? Did Sadducee repent? No, their hearts got hardened. Jewish religious ruler wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus as well. Miracle certainly revealed the power of God, but of themselves, they cannot communicate the grace of God. Now the stage has been set. Stage has been set to display the grace of God, during which the man would do their worst, and God would give his best. Application number one, please. Today, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, affirm your commitment to him by living for him. As Romans 12:1 says, "Become a living sacrifice, not to be conformed to the image of conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind." For application number two, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make it happen today. I hope all of you are saved. If you're not, I'm going to show you how to become a born-again Christian. Number three, if you're standing outside of Christianity as a spectator, remember this. God want you to be either in or out. Remember what your mama said when you hold the refrigerator open? In or out? That's what God said, in or out. There's nothing between for him or against him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You go with us wherever we go. And let us carry the name of Jesus Christ, who alone is wise, who alone is the Messiah, our Savior. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.